Here is an uncomfortable truth for Americans. If the Pope is the vicar of Christ, if he is Christ's representative on earth, then no president, no nation, no political ideology can outrank him, not even the United States. Even if these leaders are not Catholic like Donald Trump. If you like what you see, please like and share the video and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees since the premiere of my last video and the recording of this one are Jackie G. You can also like and follow us on Facebook and X. The links for both of those are also in the description. Thomas Aquinas teaches that kings must be subject to priests, and that the chief priest, the Roman pontiff, is the one whom all of the kings of the Christian people are to be subject as to our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Jesus said, "All power and authority has been given to me, not some authority has been given to me and the rest reserved for secular rulers." Christ has all power and authority, and since the Pope is Christ's vicar on earth, he and he alone can exercise that authority in Christ's name. Therefore, all world leaders are subject to the Roman pontiff. Maybe not so much in temporal matters, but certainly in spiritual matters. And when he speaks on world affairs, they should listen. Before the Second Vatican Council, the Catholic Church was crystal clear, infallibly clear, that the only rightly ordered society is one which professes Christ as King, promotes and protects the Catholic religion above all others, and which the Church is given oversight of the civil authorities. The Pope has the right to comment on world affairs, and world leaders have the duty to listen to him, and not to listen to heretical female, quote, pastors like Paula White. I'm not saying they absolutely have to do what he says, but he should be recognized as the world's spiritual advisor. Why am I bringing this up? Because this is contrary to American principles and the American mindset, even among Catholics. In the American mindset, the state is over the religions. The state is the ultimate authority. People can claim they are separate all they want to, but the reality is, in America, it is the state that sets boundaries for the religions, not the church setting boundaries for the state, as it should be. This goes back to the Protestant Reformation, especially the English Reformation, where King Henry VIII declared that he, not the Pope, was over the Church of England, and other Protestant countries followed suit. America has deep anti-Catholic roots. Much progress has been made, but from time to time, that anti-Catholicism rears its ugly head. For example, Donald Trump wrote on Truth Social recently, "I don't want a pope who thinks it's terrible that America attacked Venezuela. And I don't want a pope who criticizes the President of the United States because I'm doing exactly what I was elected in a landslide to do." He wasn't on any list to be pope and was only put there by the church because he was an American. And they thought that would be the best way to deal with President Donald J. Trump. If I wasn't in the White House, Leo wouldn't be in the Vatican. I don't think he's doing a very good job. He likes crime, I guess. I am not a fan of Pope Leo. Now, the idea that the College of Cardinals elected Leo because of Trump is ridiculous. Leo is young, and the papacy is a lifelong appointment, which means we could have Leo for 20 years or more, much longer than the 4 years we will have Trump. Now, you might think what Trump said isn't that bad, and we are a secular government, not a religious one. Well, he's certainly not giving the papacy the respect it deserves. And by the way, I'm not talking about the man, Leo, so much as the office, the papacy. Americans understand that you should respect the president because of the office, regardless of who occupies it, because it's the highest office in the land, and he is the leader of the free Masonic world. Well, the papacy was established by Christ and is the highest office in the world, above any other office, including the President of the United States. So Trump's comments are out of line because you don't talk to someone above you like that or about them publicly. And there's no such thing as a non-religious state. Trump posted an AI-generated image of Jesus, but Christ's head was replaced with Trump's head. And he's healing a man that looks suspiciously like Jeffrey Epstein. This is the level of narcissism we are dealing with when it comes to Donald Trump. He has a messianic complex that's being fueled by the likes of Paula White and others. But it gets worse. The Free Press reported that after Pope Leo's January 9th speech to members of the diplomatic corps, Cardinal Pierre, who was the papal nuncio to the U.S. at the time, was summoned to the Pentagon. In the speech, the pontiff had condemned zeal for war and raised alarms that the principles established after the Second World War, which prohibited nations from using force to violate the borders of others, has been completely undermined, and that a diplomacy that promotes dialogue and seeks consensus among all parties is being replaced by a diplomacy based on force by either individuals or groups of allies. A Pentagon official allegedly gave Pierre, quote, a bitter lecture warning that the United States has the military power to do whatever it wants, and that the church had better take its side. According to the report, an unnamed U.S. official even went so far as to invoke the Avignon papacy, where popes took residency in Avignon, France, instead of Rome, due to tremendous military pressure from King Philip IV of France. The king had violently feuded with one of the popes in Rome, and a new pontiff had agreed to transfer the papacy to Avignon. Now, that's not exactly what happened. That's what they're saying happened. The papacy moved to Avignon to improve relations with the Kingdom of France because it was Christendom. There was no separation of church and state, and France is the first daughter of the church. The United States is a godless, secular government. Of course, this threat is being denied, but this war is a religious war. At a Pentagon church service held weeks after the Iran war began, Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, not the Secretary of Defense, who is also a Christian but not Catholic, read a prayer that called for violence against military enemies. Quote, let every round find its mark against the enemies of righteousness and of our great nation. Give them wisdom in every decision, endurance for the trial ahead, unbreakable unity and overwhelming violence of action against those who deserve no mercy. Pope Leo said, quote, this is our God, Jesus, King of Peace, who rejects war, whom no one can use to justify war. Jesus does not listen to the prayers of those who wage war, but rejects them. He quoted the Bible, saying, even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. He went on to say, God does not bless any conflict. He wrote on X, anyone who is a disciple of Christ, the Prince of Peace, is never on the side of those who once wielded the sword and today drops bombs. Hegseth's pastor, Doug Wilson, has said that Marian and Eucharistic processions are idolatry and should be illegal. And I don't know if Leo was responding to Hegseth's prayer or who did what first. I'm just pointing out the obvious difference and where we as Catholics should align ourselves. Now, you might say the Pope needs to stay out of American foreign policy, or the Pope has no right to comment on American foreign policy. Yes, he does. He's the vicar of Christ. He has not only the right, but the duty to speak out against injustice. And I'm sorry, but what the United States is doing is affecting the entire world. And it's not just Pete Hegseth. All kinds of Christian leaders are making comparisons between Trump and Jesus. Franklin Graham said this in his prayer at the White House on Easter Sunday. Father, you tell us in the book of Esther that the Persians, the Iranians, want to kill every Jew, every woman and child, and do it all in one day. But you raised up Esther that saved the Jewish people. Father, we thank you. Today, the Iranians, the wicked regime of this government, want to kill every Jew and destroy them with an atomic fire. But you have raised up President Trump. You've raised him up for such a time as this. And Father, we pray that you will give him victory. Nothing like a Christian pastor invoking the book of Esther on Easter Sunday. Wouldn't want to talk about the resurrection or anything. Now, to be fair, he also prayed for the people in Iran who want freedom. But which is it? Do the Persians, the Iranians, all want to kill all the Jews, or do they want freedom? Which is it? Afterwards, Paula White made some overt comparisons of Trump to Jesus Christ, and that's not surprising. But this is Franklin Graham we're talking about. His father, Billy Graham, is probably the most respected Christian leader of modern times. Now, that should be the Pope, but I'm being realistic. And Franklin Graham inherited that legacy and has done a decent job keeping it up so far. So my point is that it's not just the crazy lunatics like Paula White and John Hagee and Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis, you know, the obvious false teachers, the people who think they're talking to God, that are pushing this. You have regular, more mainstream Protestant Christians, evangelical, yes, but more reasonable, that are also going for this because they've all bought into this false eschatology and they think that the time for its fulfillment is now. Okay, but we have J.D. Vance. He's Catholic. He's the vice president. Surely he's thrown some sanity into all this, right? Well, J.D. Vance commented on the Trump-Leo situation saying, I think it's very, very important for the Pope to be careful when he talks about matters of theology. What? And was God on the side of the Americans who liberated France from the Nazis? Was God on the side of the Americans who liberated Holocaust camps and liberated those innocent people? You know, those who had survived the Holocaust? I think the answer is yes. Not even the same thing. We were taught that America got into World War II because Pearl Harbor was attacked and Germany invaded Poland and then started dropping bombs on England. We are the ones dropping the bombs. Do you see the difference? Trump should be listening to the Pope and not these people. But the Pope is not going to stroke his ego. He's not going to just tell him what he wants to hear, like these people do. He's not going to make comparisons of him to Jesus Christ, like these people do. And that's no fun. Apparently, Trump only surrounds himself with people who cater to his narcissism. Now, his narcissistic tendencies can be good for America when they are pointed in the right direction, like the first time around. But this time, these people are basically saying that he should be worshipped, that he's doing God's will, that he is God's chosen one. And that's dangerous for a narcissist. And so the mask has dropped on American patriotic Zionistic evangelical Christianity. They are showing their true colors, which is anti-Catholic. Not overtly, it's more subtle. When the bombs are dropped in the Middle East, there are always ancient Christian churches that get destroyed, ancient Christian communities that get wiped out. And these people don't care because ancient Christian means Catholic and Orthodox. And Catholics are told, you better get on board with us. And oh, by the way, Mr. Pope, shut up. This type of situation is exactly why I left the American conservative movement, because at the end of the day, it is anti-Catholic. America in general is anti-Catholic. The left is certainly anti-Catholic. The right is always seemingly inviting to Catholics until the two are at odds, and then the anti-Catholicism comes out. Until the 1960s, the Democrat Party was more in line with Catholic principles than the Republican Party. Now it's the other way around. The left is overtly anti-Catholic, but they are hostile to religion in general. So most practicing Catholics find themselves aligned with the American right. And for the most part, this works out. But the biggest problem is that the conservative right in this country is dominated by evangelical Christians who are normally reasonable people. Catholic and evangelical values usually line up. We can find common ground when it comes to abortion, physician-assisted suicide, the rainbow agenda, basic Christian rights, and a whole host of other topics. It works out in normal times, but these aren't normal times. Evangelicals are extreme patriots, some with religious fervor. Some have incorporated American patriotism into their religious beliefs. And when Catholicism and American principles are at odds, which they inevitably will be, the evangelical anti-Catholicism comes out. This can be shocking to good conservative American Catholics. I know it was for me. When we are told that we should support our country over our church, we are told, you Catholics had better get in line. You had better support your country over your Pope. This was on steroids over 10 years ago with Pope Francis. American conservative Ann Coulter tweeted, I'm an American, and this is why our founders, not immigrants, distrusted Catholics and wouldn't make them citizens. Catholics were not accepted until they became more American Catholic and less Roman Catholic. The reality is neither the American left nor the American right fully align with Catholic principles. Nor can we give blind patriotism to America, though it is our country, especially when those in charge are waging a holy war that they perceive will bring about the fulfillment of their heretical evangelical eschatology. This is a religious war, based on the belief that modern Israel is the same as the Old Testament Israel, and the same rules apply. The same commands from God to the Israelites in the Old Testament to kill everyone and take the land applies to the modern state of Israel concerning the Palestinians and its neighboring countries today. That's what these people believe. Maybe not Trump, but a lot of the people around him. Now, if you are a Catholic and you have fallen for this false eschatology that says that the modern state of Israel is biblical Israel and that they need to build the third temple and there will be a great war between Israel and the rest of the world, but the true Christians will be raptured before it gets bad and the Antichrist will come and Jesus will defeat him and physically reign for 1,000 years like I did, just realize that the Catholic Church does not teach this. Obviously, the Antichrist will come and Christ will return and defeat him at the end of time. But the rest is heretical nonsense. The Church does not teach it. In fact, it has condemned it. And the Holy Spirit guides the Catholic Church, not heretics. Now, I voted for Trump, but this administration is being influenced by warmongering heretics like Pete Hegseth, Paula White, and others. And this war is unjust.
That's what the Vicar of Christ says.
And as Catholics, when the Pope speaks on these things, we should at least give it serious consideration and not just ignore him and blindly follow our secular leaders, or worse, call him names and say he should stay out of it. And your conscience knows this is not a just war. You know we are the aggressors. But this is also a pattern. The Church condemned the dropping of the atomic bomb on Japan. It took a long time for me to accept that, but it is true. That was not just. John Paul II said the Iraq war was unjust. Turns out he was right, and now Leo XIV says that this war with Iran is unjust, and he is right. If the American presidents had listened to the popes, as they should have, a lot less people would have died. We are Catholics first and Americans second. Sometimes it's hard to put that into perspective, but we owe the papacy more allegiance than the presidency, or a political ideology, or even our country. And if believing that makes me un-American, so be it. Being an American will not save your soul. Dying for freedom or the modern state of Israel will not save your soul. Being Catholic will. Dying for Christ and his church, the true Israel, will. Now, that's not to say that we are bound to whatever the Pope says concerning politics, economics, etc. He's only infallible in matters of faith and morals. And while he may have ultimate authority, he does not have absolute authority. An unjust command is no command at all, regardless of who gives it. But he is above the President of the United States. The Pope is the highest authority on earth. He is the Vicar of Christ, Christ's representative on earth, and he speaks with moral authority. And he should be not just Trump's, but every world leader's spiritual advisor, not some crazy heretical female pastor. Of course, he isn't sovereign in matters of state, the world leaders are, but all world leaders have advisors, and the Church should be the ultimate advisor. That's not my opinion. This is expressly taught in many of the papal encyclicals of the late 19th and early 20th century. Threatening the Vatican with military force if they don't get on board with America's war with Iran is not okay. The defense secretary praying for the death of people he doesn't like is not okay. This situation is out of control. Trump has bitten off more than he can chew. Allowing Israel to indiscriminately kill the people they don't like is unjust, and the Pope is justified in calling Trump out. But the real problem is American political values are not compatible with Catholicism. God did not establish America, he established the Catholic Church. God did not establish the presidency, he established the papacy. The Pope has the right and the duty to speak out against this because he's not just another world leader. He is the spiritual father of over 1 billion Catholics, and when moral truth conflict with political power, Catholics must stand with the Church, not the state. The modern world tells us that your nation comes first. The Church teaches that Christ comes first, and if Christ comes first, then his Church comes first, which means we respect our country, we pray for our leaders, we obey just laws, and we support just defense. But when Rome and Washington disagree, Catholics cannot just side with the president over the Pope, unless the Pope is just obviously wrong. Agreeing with him is our default position. We owe him more loyalty than we do our secular leaders. Okay, I know what some of you are thinking. You're saying to yourself, you know what, I've watched this channel for a long time, and you, Steve, go to the SSPX. You support the consecration of new bishops in spite of Pope Leo saying that they can't do it. Now you're telling us that we have to support the Pope. So what gives? Since the Second Vatican Council, the Church has been upside down. On one hand, it seeks to lessen the legitimate authority of the Pope. The Pope is above all world leaders. But after Vatican II, the popes abdicated their authority over the nation states, which they can't do. On the other hand, they claim that the Pope has an authority that he doesn't have, which is to change the constant teaching of the Church. So we have to look at these things with discernment and ask ourselves, does he have this authority? Unfortunately, we have to do that today. Unless proven otherwise, the answer is yes. In the case of changing the faith that has always been, no. He does not have that authority, and we are justified in disobedience. But when it comes to war and applying the just war doctrine and saying this is unjust, yes, he does have that authority. When the Pope exercises his office properly, we are bound. When he doesn't, we're not. Until my next video, God bless.